I want to wish you a very happy feast of the Ascension of our Lord. And that means it's a typical Sunday, but you get not just one dessert, but two. Indulge today because it is a great feast where we see our Lord taken up. But I want you to know that this is also our feast, because when the Lord ascends, we ascend. Now, I'll say how that happens in just a minute, but I want to just testify that I'm ascending with the Lord, with the Lord. There's an old song that I'm mindful of that is somewhat the title of this message. The song simply says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. The song, the refrain says, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Some would say nothing else could help. Love lifted me. You see, today the Lord ascends to heaven, but he is not going away from us. In fact, church, I want to say that the Lord is more present to you than you are to yourself. The Lord is no less present to us. In fact, he is more present to us through his Holy Spirit and through the Holy Communion that he gives us. The Lord is just, if not more, as powerfully present than when he ever walked this earth. The Lord does not ascend to go away from us. He's not up in some distant place. He's absolutely present to us now. And here's the deal. When the Lord ascends, he is taking us with him. As he goes up, we go up. And you might say, well, now how is this, preacher? You got to explain that to me because he's up there and I'm down here. And again, I'll just go as I always do, you know, to Scripture. And the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, it says that, now you are the body of Christ. Individually, you are members of that body. You, he's not talking to someone next to you or someone up in heaven. He's saying you and I, we are members of the body of Christ. And where the head of the body goes, the rest of the body goes. And Jesus, the head of the body, the church, Jesus has gone before us. But as he goes up, then if we are united with him, and we are in baptism, we will go with him. Now, another text just to make additional reference. In Romans 6 and verse 3, it is said that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. By baptism, we were buried together with him, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new, a more glorious life. Church, what the text is saying is that in baptism, we're made a member of the body of Christ, so that when Christ goes into the tomb and dies, we die and go into that tomb with him. And when he steps out of the tomb, we step out of the tomb with him. And when he ascends, we ascend with him. So it is today that Christ is not going up apart from us. He is raising us up with him. And again, I want to witness and I want to testify. I'm ascending. I said, I'm ascending with the Lord. I hope that I'm not the only one here. I am ascending. I am not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. A change is coming over me, and every year of my life I come back around, but every round goes higher, higher. Every round goes higher, higher. You see, I'm more joyful. I'm more in touch with the Lord. I know Scripture better. I'm more alive. My eyes are being more and more open to God's glory. I'm seeing and understanding his plan more and more. I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing grace come alive. I tell you, church, I am ascending. I'm ascending. Are you ascending? I hope you're a witness. We are not simply commemorating distant events of thousands of years ago. We are experiencing the ascension of the Lord right now. Now, I know that someone say, well, I'm a little backslidden preacher. Sometimes we slide back a little, but I want you to know, you stay united to the body of Christ, I promise you, you're going to be ascending. You're ascending with the Lord. And I already heard there's some witnesses in this place that we are ascending with the Lord. So again, we're trying to understand today that the Lord has ascended, not to leave us, but in fact, to take us with him. Come and go with me to my Father's house. That's, again, on the best of authority. I have it on that best of authority that as Jesus was taken up on that cloud and he rode that cloud to heaven, he said to his disciples, just follow me. Come and go with me to my Father's house. My moral theology professor years ago in the seminary said to us that this is the great high feast of moral theology in the church, because in the ascension, man, woman returns again to God. Jesus takes us up to higher places. Amen? So the first thing I want you to notice then today is this kind of, we'll call it the fellowship of the ascension. The fellowship. That is to say that in Christ, we who are with Christ rise with him, ascend with him. I realize that some of you still may struggle to say, well, how's that so if he's up there and I'm down here? And the only thing I can think to tell you is something I think I've told you before, but I'll say it again, that if I get on an elevator and I punch the button for the 11th floor, the top of my head gets to that floor before the soles of my feet. And so it is that Jesus in his mystical body, if you will, is ascending. You see, he, our head, is already there at the Father's right hand. He's there. And we, the members, are, if you will, still rising up to that place with him. But I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you stay united to the body of Christ, you are ascending with him, and you will be with him in glory. Amen? The fellowship of the ascension. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about some of the facts or maybe the facets of the ascension. We may have some idea about what this feast is about, that the Lord was taken up, or if you will, the Lord ascended by his own power into heaven. He stepped on a cloud, church, and he rode to heaven by his own power. But let's look a little bit at some of the details here of this ascension. It says here in the text from today's liturgy that the apostles were looking on as Jesus was giving them some final instructions. And it says that as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going. Yes, indeed, church. They were looking intently into the sky. You know, it's a strange thing happens next in the reading. And I want you to kind of work with me on this one. The two angels show up and they say, you know, guys, what do you keep looking up in the sky for? Are you as annoyed by that question as I am? I don't know about you, but if I saw someone step on a cloud and ride to heaven, I'd be doing some looking for a while, all right? Come on, angels, I'll tell you why I'm looking up into glory. I have seen something glorious. I just saw my Lord ride to heaven in glory. I'm going to look for a little while longer. I'm just going to keep enjoying the vision. The angels want to rush him back to Jerusalem. All right, I'll get there, and the Holy Spirit is coming next week at this time. Are you praying with me? But in the end, you see, we're not supposed to stay looking in the sky, but I just want you to enjoy the vision for a few moments with me today. Amen? I'll tell you exactly. The Lord has risen to glory, and I am looking up to see him. He has gone up yonder, but he's taking me with him, and I am filled with joy, and I'm filled with excitement. It says here in John, he had said to them in the first chapter of John, Jesus had said, truly, truly, I say to you, you're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. They saw this vision fulfilled. So we have, if you will, the kind of reality of the resurrection, of the ascension. But I want you to notice next that there's a kind of a rescue involved in the ascension as well. I think if we're not careful, we can think of the ascension as a kind of a Jesus sort of all by himself going up to heaven. I've already tried to demonstrate to you that, church, he's not going up there all by himself. He's taken some folks with him. I pray that I'm in that number. I'm in that number when the saints go marching in. And I want you to know that we read in the scriptures that even that moment or that day, Jesus did not ascend to heaven simply by himself. But it says here, I'm reading to you now from Ephesians chapter 4. And it says here, when the Lord ascended on high, he led a host, that is to say, an army of those who had been captives. And he gave gifts to men. And in saying he ascended, what does it mean? But first that he descended to the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who has ascended on high, that he might fill all things. Now this text is saying something. It's saying, it's referring back to what we read in the first letter of Peter, that the Lord, when he died on the cross on Good Friday, went down among the dead. And church, he woke him up. First thing he did is he woke him up. You may, if you ever see in religious books or in the some of the religious stores you go into, you may see an icon of Jesus, and he's standing on two coffin lids in the shape of a cross. This is from the Eastern Church, and he's standing on two coffin lids in the shape of a cross, and he's reaching down and pulling Adam and Eve up out of their tombs, waking them up. He's pulling them up out of the tombs. And he says, in the beautiful words of a second century sermon from North Africa, he says to them, Adam and Eve, arise, wake up. And he says, I who am your Lord, for your sake have become your son. And the scripture says that when the Lord went down among the dead, he cried out, he said, awake, O sleepers, rise from the dead, and I, Christ, will give you light. So the Lord went down among the dead and woke him up and preached the gospel. Uh-oh, that's bad news. He woke him up and he preached the gospel to them. Thank you. I'm going to protect this word here. I'm going to just protect it. My Bible's all been out of shape. But don't show me your perfect Bible. It better have folds and creases in it too, amen? A few pages need to be dog-eared there. Amen, amen. Listen, he went down and he woke them up and he preached the gospel and summoned them to faith. And those who had faith, he rallied to himself. We don't know all the details, but the scripture says in 1 Peter and in chapter 1, it says that he went down among them and preached the good news to them, woke them up. And so this text from Ephesians says that when the Lord ascends into heaven, he takes this multitude with him. Church, he ascended and he led with him a whole army of those who had been captive down in Sheol, asleep and waiting for the Messiah to open the gates of heaven again. Are you praying with me? Do you see that they're going up with him? Oh, church, and I have it on the best of authority that as they went up with him, they were singing. They were singing and they were rejoicing. And before I get to tell you what songs they were singing, let me just tell you some of the folks that might have been there in that army that went up with the Lord, that great procession into heaven with him. I think of he went down among the dead and he'd woken up Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Rachel and Judith. And I'm thinking of Deborah and David and Samuel and Isaiah. And I'm thinking of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Malachi and countless men and women all through the centuries who had been longing and waiting for the Messiah. And yes, even John the Baptist, who had just recently gone down there, he too, all of them gathered to the Lord. And now the Lord leads this army up into heaven. Oh, church, there is not only a rescue going on, but there is a rejoicing that's going on. And Consider that they sang and they exulted as they went into heaven. Today, the church's liturgy tells us one of the songs they certainly must have sung as they went with Jesus into glory. From the psalm today in Mass, I believe it's the 42nd psalm, it says that God, they were singing, God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, the Lord amid trumpet blast. Oh, you peoples, clap your hands, sing and shout to God with cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, the Awesome, is the great King over all the earth. Oh, God reigns over the nations. God sits upon his holy throne. You might as well say amen. This pastor's really wound up today. I got it on the best of authority. They were also singing some gospel songs. Yes, they were. They were singing, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Singing, glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I have it on the best of authority. They were even singing an old Motown song. They were singing, your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Somebody told me that's not actually a Motown song. Well, it ought to be, all right? They were singing, church. They were rejoicing. Now, I hope you can see that I'm all kind of excited and worked up, and the pulpit's shaking again, and the poor banner here, and the things are falling out of the pulpit up here. But my heart's on fire when I think about this, of Jesus going to glory and being raised, if you will, opening up the heaven, raising up those gates of heaven, and a whole train of countless men and women going in there with him. And church, I want to be in that number when all the saints go marching in. I, with you, am ascending with the Lord. Today, I hope that your hearts are as on fire as mine are. I'm up here. I'm excited when I see what this Word of God is telling us about what happened today, which we celebrate. Amen? Now, as the Lord goes up, again, he doesn't go to abandon us because he's taking us with him. We've studied that. But I want you to know that in going to heaven, the Lord also, if you will, there's not just a fellowship of this ascension that we have. There's not just the facets of it, but there's also some fruitfulness to the ascension. And the Lord, in many places in the Scripture, talks about four fundamental fruits that he has gone to get for us by going to heaven. And here they are. I'll just list them and then just briefly describe them. I shouldn't use the word briefly, but I'll try. He's ascending to give us some Holy Ghost power, some harvest, some help, and some habitation. Listen now. The Lord goes up. And the Lord said something in John 16. The Lord said this, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go up. For if I do not go, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you. So again, now we're going to talk about that next week. I don't think I better get started because I don't want to preach next week's sermon this week. Next week, we're going to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're here and wear red. Church, it's going to be a great feast. Tongues of fire will come upon us, and we're going to celebrate the outpouring again of the Holy Spirit on this community of faith and upon all of us. The Lord says, I want you to understand something. I am going, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I'll send him in my name and the Father's name, and he's going to teach you everything. Jesus said elsewhere, he said, you know, there's an awful lot of things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them now. You can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, he's going to lead you to all the truth. Is there a witness in this house? Are there some things that you understand today that you didn't understand 10 years ago? Is not the Holy Spirit already in you, leading you deeper into the truth? Oh, church, we're all in this ascension, you see, with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a central gift in that ascension. So the Lord says, I'm going. I'm going to go up high to my Father's throne. I'm taking you with me, but I'm going to make sure that you understand I'm going, first of all, to bring you some Holy Ghost power. And not only that, but I'm going to bring in a harvest. The Lord said in John chapter 12, he said, "And I, when I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, all women unto me." Now, at one level, the Lord was talking about his crucifixion. But at another level, he's also talking about his resurrection and ascension. And as the Lord goes up, he's got a plan. He's working with us to spread the seed of God's word and bring in a great, great harvest of Christians from all throughout the world. And church, I was part of that harvest yesterday, and some of you I see in this church were there with me. We were out walking these streets yesterday, just about this time. We were out walking, knocking on some doors, and some of us were over in Lincoln Park. I got to meet yesterday over 20 people I've never met before, and I got to talk to them briefly about the Lord and to invite them to come to God's house. Someone said, "You know, I go to a certain other Catholic parish, but I've heard something about your church. I hear you all really have fun at Mass." Imagine that. Amen. Amen. So here we are. But again, I got to meet 20 people yesterday, and I don't know whether any of them found their way today or will find their way anytime soon, but I just know this. I am happy that the Lord is in heaven bringing in a harvest, and I am glad to be part of that harvest, and so many of you as well. I'm glad that as a parish, we've taken evangelization seriously. The Lord is up there. He's drawing everyone to himself, but he's using you and me. Some of you were walking yesterday, some were praying, and some were cooking a meal upon our return. Some of you have been working and bringing your family members back. I just praise God for every one of you. I praise God because the Lord is at the Father's right hand, and he is inspiring, empowering, equipping, and enabling us to bring in this harvest. So the Lord says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me." Now, not only is there a Holy Ghost power and harvest, but there's also help. The Lord has gone up to heaven to, if you will, bring us some help. Anyone need some help down here? We all need some help down here. Listen to what the Lord says. Again, from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. "Amen, amen, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do and even greater works. Why? Because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Do you understand the power that you have to plug into? Do you understand the advocate that we have at the Father's right hand now? He's up there next to his Daddy God, tugging on his sleeve, saying, "Daddy God, we've got to take care of these folks down here. We've got to send every grace." The book of Hebrews in the 7th chapter says that the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has gone into the holy place for us, is now able, it says, to save those who draw near to him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand, and he's praying for you right now. He is praying for you. And whatever you ask in his name, if it be according to his will, you will have it, and you will have it in abundance. Too many people doubt the power of prayer. The Bible says in the book of James, "You have not because you ask not." Oh, we've got to begin to understand that someone is praying for us right now. You know that old song, "Somebody prayed for me." Well, you know who that somebody is? Yes, it's my mother, it's my preacher, it's my pastor, but it's also my Lord. My Lord Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand. And I say to you right now, church, somebody is praying for me, has me on his mind, took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad he prayed. Oh, church, are you glad? I'm so glad he prayed for me. So we see, therefore, the Holy Ghost power. We see harvest. We see the help that is now available to us because Christ has ascended. And we also see habitation. The Lord says in John again 14, He says, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. And if I go, I will prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be." Do you understand what's happening right now? Jesus has his hard hat on, and he's got the blueprints out. And he's building your dwelling place in heaven. The Lord is preparing a place for us. And you know, I don't know if I need to care about all the details, whether the walls are gold. I think I could probably do just with a little bit of silver. You see the vision, though. I know this much, that the Lord is preparing a wonderful dwelling for me and for you too. Church, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not even dawned on us what God has in store for those who love and trust him. Do you long for heaven? Do you imagine what it'll be like to be with God forever? To look on the face of God? To finally just exhale and not need to inhale anymore? Just to be with God forever in total shalom peace? No more trials, no more sighing, no more dying, no more moaning, no more groaning. Just with God forever. I know that we all have a natural aversion to death, but I hope in a way there's a part of you that looks forward to the day you'll go home to be with God. I'm not planning to die anytime soon. I expect I'll probably live into my 80s. Only God knows. But I know this, if for some reason I die soon, don't mourn, not for me anyway. Just say, you know, it was the greatest day of Monsignor Pope's life, because he finally got to go to be with God forever. The greatest day of my life will be the day I leave here and go to be with God. The greatest day of all of our life, because we're not meant to stay here. I pray, I know the Lord has a work for me to do, and I want to stay and I want to accomplish it, but in the end, it's up to God. And whenever God will call me, whenever my dwelling place is finished, the Lord says, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you to myself so that where I am in glory, you may also be. Church, we may have to have some tears wiped from our eyes after we die. We may have to go through that period of judgment where the Lord wipes the tears from our eyes and purifies us, but I promise you a glorious mansion in God's heaven. I promise it to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons Jesus ascended was to go put on his hard hat, pull open the blueprints, and start your mansion building. Long for heaven. Pray for it. Keep looking. Keep saying, I can't wait. One day, Lord, I may have a work to do, and I'm happy to stay here and do it now, but there's a part of me, Lord, that can't wait to be with you forever. Well, church, I'm all wound up. I need to cut that out. I need to ramp it down now. I just want you to know that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Church, love. I said love lifted me. When nothing else could help, Jesus came and snatched me. And he lifted me. As Jesus ascends today, I don't know about you, but I'm going with him. I pray, God, that all of us remember that as members of his body, as he ascends, we ascend, and we will be with him. If we stay with his body, we will be with him forever in glory. Love lifted me. Amen.